Zinc Media. Feel the power of knowledge.
The song American Pie, so that anyone who might be interested will learn that the song was not a parlor game, as McLean stated in a Christie's catalog ahead of the sale. It was an indescribable photograph of America that I tried to capture in words and music. So he just wanted to tell the rest of the world that this wasn't a parlor game. This was, whatever it was, it was meant to be what it was meant to be. And then he just wants everybody to know, at the cost of $1.2 million, of course. Now, that photograph was a little bit blurry at more than 800 words. The meaning of American Pie proved elusive, even for a generation used to parsing Bob Dylan and Beatles lyrics. The McLean said the song was inspired by the 59 plane crash, but has been very cagey about other details. People ask me if I left the lyrics open to ambiguity. Of course I did, he says. I wanted to make a whole series of complex statements. The lyrics had to do with the state of society at the time. So it wasn't about the plane crash, but it was. But what state was that is the question. And so it seemed like the song's cast of characters, which include a jester, a king, a queen, a good old boys drinking whiskey and rye, as well as Miss American Pie herself, were meant to represent real people. The songs include references to Karl Marx, Vladimir Lenin, or more likely John Lennon, the Fab Four, the Byrds, James Dean, Charles Manson, the Rolling Stones, The Widowed Bride, Jackie Kennedy, and the Vietnam War. Really, all of that in one song. It's just a song. What a song about the day the music died seems like it might be about the end of the American dream. Basically, in American Pie, things are heading in the wrong direction, he told Christie's. As the Newcastle Herald reported, it is becoming less idyllic. I don't know whether you consider that wrong or right, but it is a morality song in a sense. The day the music died, so says Don McLean. Good evening, my fellow Americans. It is I, your lovable host, Elrod, coming to you live from my bunkerized home studio, somewhere within the great granite state of New Hampshire, where the state motto is live free or die. It is not big government or bust. It is hump day, Wednesday, Wednesday, May the 27th in the year of our Lord 2015, as we begin our slide into the weekend. The number that you can call me this evening, toll free, 603-835-3224. That's the number every night we are live here. I hope that doesn't ruin people's visions of the classic song American Pie. And it's in like eight and a half minute diatribe of the state of the country and the world at that particular point in time, I guess. the day the music died. It has nothing to do with, very little to do, but not only to do with the death of Ritchie Valens and the Big Bopper and Ritchie Valens. I already said him. And Buddy Holly. It's about, Buddy, but they died because Buddy Holly wanted to do laundry. Just that's what we're told in this piece, just so you know. So, they took off in bad weather because a pilot wasn't cleared or qualified to take off in bad weather, because Buddy Holly wanted to do laundry and the plane went down and everybody died. So there you go. End of, and that's the day the music died. Evidently, that music didn't die because, the Ritchie Valens stuff came back. Sad that he was only 17 years old, really. But there you have it. Bernie Sanders, as I mentioned in the last segment. Bernie Sanders, this is a Newsmax story, Newsmax.com. Bernie Sanders, a 90% tax isn't too high. So I wonder if Don McLean, would believe that 90% of 1.2 million would be too high. I don't know, but you got to wonder, well, what if Bernie Sanders has his way? Yes. Now, Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders, a Democratic candidate for president, communist, basically, thinks a 90% tax rate on the wealthiest Americans might not be too high. Now, Sanders made the remark during an interview with CNBC. Now, when talking about President Dwight Eisenhower's administration, Sanders said, "I think the highest marginal tax rate was something like 90%. Now, CNBC's John Harwood then said it was 90%. Now, when you think about 90%, you don't think that's obviously too high. Now, Sanders replied, "No, what I think we've seen, and what frightens me again, when you have the top 0.1% owning almost as much wealth as the bottom 90%, does anybody think that this kind of economy this country should have, that this is the kind of economy this country should have? Do we think it's moral?" Oh, so let me reverse the question. Mr. Sanders, do you think it's moral to steal citizens' money because you think they have too much? Is that moral? Now, understand the marginal tax rate is not really a full 90%. It is 90% or above a certain amount. So whatever they declare to be, rich. So if you, let's say they declare that anything over $100,000 gets taxed at 90%. So if you earn $200,000 a year, your first $100,000 gets taxed at one rate. That second $100,000 gets taxed at 90%. So how much do you bring home? You bring home 10% of that $100,000. So instead of making $200,000 without being taxed in the other part, you're bringing home $10,000 out of that $100,000. That's it. That's what Mr. Sanders is talking about. Now, you don't get to keep the first $100,000 either, because you got to pay taxes on that, although at a much lower rate. So why would people do that? Well, they wouldn't. They wouldn't allow themselves to be paid in such a fashion that 90% or 70% of their income under Carter would be going to the government. They'd find alternative ways to get the money that they believe is owed to them. And look, giving it to the government isn't going to prevent the other person, the other 90% from not being poor. Never has, never will. See, that there's this whole myth in the notion that if we tax the rich, everybody else is going to get that money. That's not the case. Never has been and never will be. Especially in a socialistic or communistic or fascist type of governmental society. They're not going to share that. It's got to go through the government. It's going to get laundered in the government. It's going to, that $90,000 out of that $100,000 is going to get eaten up. And it's going to be spit out the other side of government, and maybe it'll be enough left over for 30, $1,000 worth of program to go into programs and stuff. And you're not going to get that much of it. It's going to get further with, because, you know, there's a whole bunch of people that's got, that wants a part of this little piece. And government's already got its cut. And then it'll just pass down what's left over. And it won't be much. And so you're still going to be in the poorhouse. I don't, you know it's really kind of amazing because you ask people, well, do you think you're going to get ahead if government taxes that rich person more? And the answer is usually, well, no. Then why do you want to tax them so much? Well, because we need the money in the government, and they're the ones that can afford it. That's the whole issue. They think that the rich, so-called rich, can afford it when they don't even really realize what rich is and isn't. And many of them, as they if they win life's lottery, so they're told, and if they win a lottery or they, you know, they come up with something or get a job or what have you, business starts to boom that they own, and they start to realize this greater amount of income, and they edge ever closer to such a tax bracket, then they lament it. Because then they say, well, I'm not rich. Well, you are, according to your neighbor that you're leaving behind in the economic dust. And then they say, well, I worked hard for this. Well, not according to your neighbor that you're leaving in the economic dust. They think that you stole it from all your workers. And then, you know, they realize, well, no, I didn't steal it. I worked 6 and 7 days a week. I earned this. Well, not according to your neighbor who believes what the government has been telling them about you, that you and your kind, your ilk, as they say, are stealing from your employees. Well, you probably think that you pay your employees pretty well. Well, they don't think that you pay your employees well enough because you're getting rich and your employees are not. I know there, and some people will, you know, when they argue the point, well, you can't make your employees rich with you by paying them at such an overly high salary. Remember that high tech company that the owner, the founder, the co-founder decided to forego his, you know, $1 million salary and give everybody a minimum $70,000 salary, so including himself. So everybody's earning 70 grand at this company. And some people think, well, that's a noble idea. No, that's one of the dumbest ideas, because now there's no reason or let's face it. You know, humans are kind of a greedy lot. Humans, we are. You know, we need incentive. You know, and one incentive to do a good job is, yeah, hey, if I do a good job, one, I'm going to get a raise and or a promotion. But if everybody's earning the same, you know, why are they going to change what they do? They're not going to press forward as hard. There's going to not be any reason to do so. We've seen this type of thing in this experiment happen and fail numerous times throughout history. And yeah, you know, he's going to have to, this business owner is going to have to learn the same lesson. Ben and Jerry's learned that lesson. You know, because they insisted for a long time that the people who got paid the most weren't paid. I think it was more than 3.5 times what the person at the bottom got paid. So the most of the, you know, on an annual basis. So if the lowest person made, say, 30,000, then the highest paid person couldn't earn more than, well, 3.5 times, what, 100, 110,000. And when Ben and Jerry decided that they didn't want to be involved in running the everyday operations anymore, they wanted to do other things, and they tried to hire, you know, corporate CEO, they found out they couldn't find a qualified person who would come to work under those terms. So they had to break the pact with the workers on that. And of course, you know, a lot of the lower paid ones were highly upset. Well, wait a minute. If you're going to pay this guy $500,000, shouldn't we all get a raise? And Ben and Jerry said, well, no. Because, you know, you're the janitor, or all you're doing is packing ice cream. You're not worth $70,000, $80,000, or $90,000 a year. Sorry. And some of the people were kind of indignant and upset because they felt, well, it's their money. But it's not. It's not the employee's money. It's the company and company owner's money. And if the, you know, the owners happen to be individuals and not shareholders, well, or who are individuals, but shareholders could also be institutions. But if it's not the employees, if it's not an employee-owned company, then no, the money's not theirs. They don't get to decide, or should not get to decide, what and how much is spent, when and where. That's. But this is the whole notion with this, spread the wealth around, you know, because it doesn't get spread around. All you're doing is taking it from somebody, and you know, and then you get some people who think, well, yeah, stick it to them, stick it to that rich person, because you know all they did was steal, but they didn't. They created the job that you are working at. They're paying you. You know, that rich person created your job. He created a company or a business that created your job. It just didn't spring out of nowhere. You know, it just wasn't there one day. The company had to first go through a number of different phases. Had to be thought of. An idea had to come to somebody. Then they had to implement a plan and put together a plan, and then come up with an investment strategy to get the thing off the ground. It could have been their own money, could have been, you know, borrowed money from somebody, could have been stock initiative money, what have you. They had to get the money in order to start the venture, and then they had to grow it from there, and then they could hire a few people or so. But this whole notion that, you know, corporations are, you know, start out as being like, you know, Walmart didn't start out being a $1 trillion retailer. They didn't start out with over 4,000, nearly 5,000 stores. They started with one store. A man and a dream started with one store and grew from there. That's how it works. But we're supposed to say, oh, well, you know, Sam Walton is evil because he started Walmart stores. Well, why does that make him bad? A lot of people like shopping at Walmart, and Walmart has done a lot of things to make certain items in this economy a lot more affordable for those who can least afford high-budget items all the time. But, you know, they can go into Walmart once a week and get whatever they need at a really ridiculously low price usually. But at the same time, for Sam Walton and his family to reap the rewards of being able to provide such a service to the community, now they're being chastised. Oh, yeah, they're worth so much. Why don't they give more back? Well, because it's none of your business how much they give back, but they do give. They give a lot. But you don't see a lot of these so-called liberals giving in return. No, they just want to take from somebody else. And by taking from somebody else, they think, well, you know, I'll be, you know, they think they can go to somebody, you know, the rest of the public and say, see, we took care of them for you. They're not going to, they're not going to take your stuff any, well, you don't have to take their stuff anymore. They're crap. You know, they're too much money on their end and not enough for you. And this is what they're trying to portray and tell people about the rich, that all they're doing is stealing from you. And if we tax them, then they won't get to keep that money. But where does that money go that they tax? Shouldn't you not be so quick to judge and say, yeah, take their cash? Because let's just say that you get the promotion now and you start working your way up the ladder. You want to hit those tax brackets too? Well, of course you don't. Nobody wants to hit those tax brackets. Nobody wants to pay those types of taxes. Not even, you know, the most liberal of, well, not, liberals don't want to pay those taxes either. Many of them don't. Look at Al Sharpton. He still like owes $4 million. Or something in back taxes. You know, Tim Geithner didn't pay all his taxes on time, and a bunch of other people didn't pay their taxes on time that either were in the administration of Obama or tried to be in the administration of Obama. And some of them didn't get into the administration of Obama simply because they had this tax issue, because they weren't paying their taxes. So evidently, They didn't like paying taxes either, but they're out there telling you that we all should be paying more in taxes, especially if you're above a certain level that they think is that is rich. And if you ask them what's rich, well, we get all kinds of answers. You know, we even during Obama's first campaign, it basically went from being rich was considered to make making $250,000 a year all the way down to $120,000 a year. Yes, go back and look it up. Joe Biden said it. I don't know about you, but a lot of people who are earning $100,000 or $120,000 a year, especially depending on where they live, they're not rich. And I've explained this, another thing that I've explained ad nauseum, that if you live in Boston, if you live in New York City, if you live in Chicago, if you live in San Francisco, $100,000 a year is middle class, considering that the average median price of a home in those areas could be around $300,000 to $400,000, and that's for a so-called starter home. I mean, it's crazy to think that we can have this notion, this single notion, that this one size fits all throughout this entire. Look, you're in $120,000 in, I don't know, Kansas City, Kansas. That's a lot more money than earning $120,000 in New York City, Manhattan. It is. Because the cost of living in Kansas City, Kansas is so much less expensive. You're going to, you know, you could buy a 3,000 square foot house for a couple hundred grand in Kansas City, Kansas. You can't do that in Manhattan, New York City. You can't buy an apartment of that size for a couple hundred. You know what you get for a couple hundred thousand in New York City, in Manhattan? If you're lucky, you'll get a broom closet. Literally. You know, I mean, rents are $2,000 a month to start in some places. Now, you know, that's $24,000 to $25,000 a year just in rent for a small place. Oh, you're earning $100,000, Ron. You can afford it, really? What if you're $100,000 and you have a family? You know, that $24,000 to $25,000 a year for that small place is usually fit enough and big enough for one, maybe two people. You add a kid to that mix. Oh, no. You're not, that's too small now. Now you gotta up the ante and find something bigger, better, and, you know, and hopefully in your same neighborhood so they can go to the good school that you want them to go to. But Bernie Sanders seems to think that, you know, taxing them 90%, a marginal tax rate of 90% on the rich is going to make everybody else who's not so rich more rich. It's going to enrich them somehow. I don't know how that's possible when the government doesn't give you the money. The government doesn't give you the money. Even, you know, they're not even giving the poor welfare recipient the money. So I don't know how it gets to the point where people think that they can just go ahead and say, well, yeah, they're rich, they have too much money, they can afford to be taxed more. It's not going to help you in one bit. You shouldn't be so jealous of somebody else's wealth that you want to take it from them. That's not a Christian thing to do. That's not a good religious person in most major religions. That's not a good thing to do. That's going to create some bad karma on your part. And which is why a lot of people probably stay poor, because they have all this bad karma building up, because, you know, they're overly wrongly jealous of other people. And instead of going out and making their own and lifting themselves up, they just want to pull everybody down to their level. And pulling everybody else down to your level doesn't help raise you one bit. Think about it.
Hi, I'm George Foreman. Do you have an idea for a new product or invention? People ask me all the time, George, how do I get my idea in front of companies? How do I get a patent? What do I do next? I'll tell you like I'll tell them all. Call my friends at InventHelp.
Call InventHelp today for free information. InventHelp can submit your invention to companies who are interested in receiving new ideas. Call InventHelp today.
To get your free inventor's information, call 1-800-352-1609. That's 1-800-352-1609.
If you want to work until you keel over, have less of everything in retirement, or give back more of your hard-earned money to the stock market again, then just ignore me. But if you'd like to protect the money you save, receive a steady, predictable retirement income, and enjoy financial security for as long as you live, then listen to this. You can download a free report that reveals the wealth-building secrets Wall Street and the banks don't want you to know. You'll learn how you can get guaranteed growth, safety, and real prosperity without risking your money in the Wall Street casino, and how to get the money you need when you need it, simply by asking for it. This is the best way to have a 100% secure retirement and know your money will last as long as you do. To learn more about this method and to get your free report, go to 52security.com. That's the number 52security.com. 52security.com. Go to 52security.com.
Hurt or injured in a car accident? It can be hard to take the proper legal action after a car accident, but waiting can cost you more. The law requires car accident victims to assert claims promptly. You could lose out by simply waiting. Call 800-709-4667 right now to see what your claim could be worth when handled by a skilled attorney. With a lawyer fighting and speaking up for you, you could be entitled to a big cash award. Call 800-709-4667. That's 800-709-4667. Now it's fast and easy to connect with the legal help you need after your car accident. Call 800-709-4667. The call is free, but you need to act now before time runs out on your claim. You need a lawyer to fight for you, protect you, and get you the compensation you need and deserve. Time's wasting. Call 800-709-4667. That's 800-709-4667. Call now.
I considered suicide so I wouldn't put my family through all the pain.
Many of our warriors are returning home from the battlefield, only to face a new war. As they struggle with devastated injuries. At Wounded Warrior Project, we understand. We're there to help.
Even though you think you're broken, you're not. It's the physical and the emotional healing that Wounded Warrior Project provides.
With a gift of just $19 a month, you can join Wounded Warrior Project. You'll help provide critically needed programs and services that rebuild lives.
Beautiful!
The ongoing needs of our wounded and their families will continue for many years to come. Now is the time to show your support. Call now or go online with your gift of just $19 a month and we'll send you this Wounded Warrior Project blanket.
It made me feel that there's people out there that care about us.
After this event, we can finally maybe start to heal as a family and move forward.
We need your help. The families are hurting.
For many of our wounded heroes, the greatest casualty is being forgotten. That's why your gift of just $19 a month is so important. Please call or go online right now.
You shouldn't have to pay to talk to the people closest to you, or the people who used to be. That's why Umbrella Wireless is proud to announce the new Friends, Family, and Recent Ex-Girlfriend plan. Now you'll get unlimited calls to your best buddy, your mom, or Cindy, once she realizes that you're seriously meant for each other and should stop screening your calls. Now the 30 minutes of agonizing silence where you're both afraid to hang up may drain your battery, but it won't drain your wallet. And you'll get unlimited calls just to check if she still cares enough to pick up. With no extra charges. With the Friends, Family, and Recent Ex-Girlfriend plan, your phone will automatically answer calls from your ex, because maybe she finally realizes that you're the only one for her and wants to get coffee sometime. Now, after lonely nights of looking at pictures of the road trip you took together when everything was great, your misspelled texts are absolutely free. The only thing you have to pay for is the booze. The Friends, Family, and Recent Ex-Girlfriend plan. Because she wants you back. She just doesn't know it yet.
From CNN, following the continuing saga of the free range parents. Now, if you remember, I brought you this case, and there's another case that we're still following. But I brought you this case about a Maryland family, Maryland parents, who got in trouble because they let their 6 and 10-year-old walk home alone from a playground that was about a mile from their house. Now, you know, 5,280 feet. And if you walk, you know, the average human being's walking speed is about 3.5 miles per hour. So it might be a half hour walk for the kids. It might be. Now, understand that kids used to have to walk that distance to school for quite a while. And that was okay. You know, they're going to school. You know, it's a mile, a little under a mile. They can walk to school. You know, it's only a 20-30 minute walk. It's a big deal. They get some exercise. You know, we did. We had to, you know, I walked to school. That was probably about a mile. Maybe a little bit more. A 20-30 minute walk. It's just, even in the dead cold of winter, that's just the way it was. But anyway, this, the Maryland free range parents, have found out the hard way that, you know, they probably shouldn't be letting their kids walk home alone at such a young age, right? Well, the Maryland free-range parents at the center of a national debate over parental supervision have been cleared of child neglect charges related to an incident that happened back in December, in which their children, ages 6 and 10 at the time, were allowed to walk home alone from a playground about a mile from their house. If you live in a safe neighborhood, why would you, you know, a 10-year-old? What if they were on bikes instead? Is that different? You know, put them on, maybe the parents should have just given them bikes. However, Danielle and Alexander Meitiv, Meitiv of Silver Spring are still under investigation for a similar episode last month in which their children were picked up by authorities while walking home alone and detained for several hours. The couple's attorney hailed the ruling by Child Protective Services of Montgomery County, saying, "I think this most recent conclusion by CPS, Child Protective Services, validates our position all along that the Meitivs were never responsible for any form of child neglect, and there was no basis to investigate the family or detain the children." Now, their attorney, Matthew Dowd, added that the family was notified via letter last week about the case. But there's another case pending about the same thing. So the child CPS, why is it government agencies always have three letters? Think about it. Most of them, almost all of them, are three letters. Three letters. Well, and I'm not, you know, Department of State is not really three letters. That's two. We don't consider Department of State, you know. But Department of Homeland Security, DHS. Child Protective Services, CPS. It's always about services, too, isn't it? You know, it's about protection of the. They always come up with these names that sound like they're protecting and providing protective services for the American people, and it's all for your own good, for your own protection, people. You know, we're protecting the children by making sure that parents do not allow their 10-year-old. How old do you have to be before you can walk home by yourself over a mile? I would have asked, how old do you, so we don't have to come here again, how old do you have to be? I mean, think about it. How many other parents might get caught if they don't determine, this 10-year-old can walk by himself now. Okay, well, how young can they go? Is 9 too young? No. 8? Yeah, 8's me. Okay. So what if an 8-year-old is walking with a 10-year-old? Is that, the 10-year-old's okay, So can the 8-year-old deal with the 10-year-old? Well, yeah. Okay, can a 7-year-old deal with a 10-year-old? Eh, maybe. Can a 6, you know, first grade, first grader is 6, you know, 6 years old. Get sibling, can they do that? Eh, maybe not. Okay, so 7 with a 10 is fine. You're going to have to start, they're going to have to start determining this stuff. This isn't about Child Protective Services, by the way. This is not about protecting children. This is about government trying to determine how you raise your kid. Notice how they are nowhere in the story are they saying it. Are they trying to determine how young is too young? So parents are just supposed to, you know, I don't know. Is a 13-year-old too young to walk home by themselves? 13-year-old and a 6-year-old? Would they have been picked up? You know, if you think a 10-year-old is 11-year-old and a 6-year-old, is that too young? I don't know, 12? 12 and 6? What is the age combo and age cutoff for this kind of stuff? They don't say. So a parent is I guess, you know, we're just supposed to watch our kids 24/7, right? And if we don't, somehow parents are neglectful of not watching their kids. Well, now, anyway, the police drove the kids home a few hours later. Someone from Child Protective Services arrived at the home and said the family needed to agree not to let the children be unsupervised until the matter was resolved within the agency, or the children would be taken into custody of Child Protective Services. Now, the family appealed, and they were successful in their appeal. Maryland Department of Human Resources. So, you know, they're coming in telling you, well, you have to do what we tell you to until, you know, a judge sorts it out. So in other words, they could just come to your door and tell you that you have to do whatever they tell you to do until a judge sort of tells you differently. And that if you don't do what they tell you to do, they're going to come and take your kids away. Think about this for a second. You cannot let your 10-year-old walk from the park a mile away by himself again until a judge tells you it's okay. Because if you do, we're going to take your kids. Even if the judge eventually says it's fine, we're still going to come and take your kids. So there's this arbitrary notion that you are not responsible for your kids the way that you should be responsible for them. You have to do what the government tells you, which is not constitutional, and it's BS. Personally, I'd say, well, were my kids in danger from anyone? No. Why did the police stop them? Because they saw them walking. And how did they know where the kids lived? They could have lived, you know, just a half a block, two houses down, and the cops picked them up. Why? You know, next time you do it, how about I sue your butt? Because there's, you know, why would the kids aren't lost? They're not in trouble. They're not doing anything in trouble. They're freely walking. No issues. They tell the cops that we're fine, and yet the cops pick them up. Now, if I'm a parent and I see this happening, and we know that people have often imitated cops, I would think that there's something wrong. You know, my kids are being forced into a cop car. I would think maybe they're not cops. I would probably start shooting first, asking questions later. And if you came to my door and started demanding and telling me how to raise my kids, oh, I'd give you a smack to get off my property. They're my kids, not yours. There's no neglect going here. Why don't you actually go and find some parents who truly are abusing or neglecting their kids and leave parents alone who are trying to raise their kids in the best possible way that they see fit. Learn to be independent. Okay, walk home. That's fine. I don't think maybe it's because I grew up in a different era, but walking a mile or riding your bike a mile, that was, you went to school that way. It was no big deal. Now, the April case is now going to, because the cops picked up the kids again in April, on April 19th. So the April case is still going through the process. The agency has 60 days to conclude its investigation and issue a written decision. Well, they were already told, you know, no big deal. So what is the deal now? they should give out, if, you know, if they're going to start determining or start picking up kids like this, they should start determining the age limits then and disseminating this information to parents all across the state. Should they not? Do you think it's legit just telling people, you know, knocking on their door later and saying, no, your kid's too young. We're going to, you know, don't do it again or else we're going to take him, or we're taking him now. You're up for neglect. Without telling people, you know, what age is not neglectful? We're just supposed to guess? Is that it? We're supposed to guess? No, that's what they want you to think, I guess. You're just supposed to guess. Hey, did you know that, here's a story that I find kind of interesting. It's about a Volvo. Volvo cars. And I wonder if the Volvo actually, if the Volvo has a soul. Remember Herbie the Love Bug? You know, from the there was a remake or a reboot of it not too long ago. But Herbie the Love Bug, you know, Herbie kind of had a soul. Herbie was kind of alive. I am alive. Johnny Five and Herbie is alive. But a self, I just wonder if this Volvo is alive and has a soul because of who it tried to run over. A self-parking Volvo plows into journalists after owner neglects to pay for extra feature that stops cars crashing into people. Now, I didn't know that there was extra features that you could purchase to keep it from running into people. Why would Volvo has that as an option? Now, a video it came to light showing a car attempting to park by itself, but actually plowing into journalists, might have resulted from Volvo's owner not paying an extra fee to have the car avoid pedestrians. So, I'm not sure that the car didn't recognize the pedestrians. It just probably recognized that it was a bunch of liberal reporters. Now, the video shows that was taken in the Dominican Republic. And I don't know why they have a car in the Dominican Republic parking itself. They can't park in the Dominican. It shows a Volvo XC60 reversing itself, waiting, and then driving back into pedestrians at speed. Now, this is why I asked, because watching the video, you see the car back up. And then it waits. So I'm thinking the car is sizing up. Oh, bunch of liberal journalists. Let's run them over. Some people probably wouldn't find that to be funny, but I find it hilarious. It's hilarious. It's hilarious. Hey, Loretta Lynch, if you haven't already heard, is, launching a full-scale investigation. Oh, yeah, she wants to get to the bottom of whatever's going on and whatever's going down. She needs to get to the bottom of it, and she needs right now, fast. Loretta Lynch, the new attorney general, the latest version of Eric Holder, Loretta Lynch's Justice Department is just launched a full-blown offensive. Offensive. This is how the National Journal puts it. NationalJournal.com. A full-blown offensive against major crime syndicate? No. Major gang syndicate? No. Major drug lords? No. Government corruption? No. Well, then who? Who is she gonna? Is she going after and spending all this money and time? The department unsealed a 47-count indictment earlier today against 14 international soccer officials. Yes, Loretta Lynch is going after and is going to take down FIFA. I kid you not, if you have not heard the story yet. Loretta Lynch's Justice Department 47-count indictment earlier this morning, laden with racketeering, corruption, and conspiracy charges against 14 defendants associated with FIFA, the World Soccer Association, and international soccer organizations. It's the latest in a series of high-profile moves from the Justice Department since Lynch became Attorney General last month, including its investigations into police misconduct in Baltimore as well as others. Now, the indictment originated in Eastern District of New York, where Lynch served as U.S. attorney until her confirmation, and was supported by an FBI investigation into FIFA's dealings. Now, the heavily detailed indictment details 12 individual schemes coordinated by various defendants over the last 25 years, including plots related to bidding for the 2010 World Cup, the 2011 FIFA presidential election, and next year's Centennial Copa America tournament. So yeah, all these soccer officials. Now this is what she says. Many of the individuals and organizations we will describe today are entrusted with keeping soccer open and accessible to all. They were expected to uphold the rules that keep soccer honest and to protect the integrity of the game. Instead, they corrupted the business of world soccer. Look, if you break the law, yeah, you should be prosecuted. But after, with as much as going on in this country, you're telling me that we're going to spend all these, you know, legal resources on bringing down a few FIFA executives? Soccer? I mean, this is like blowing up. Why doesn't she just go ahead and do an investigation of Deflategate? Well, maybe arrest Tom Brady for cheating. I don't. What? You know what? When I first heard it, I really thought it was a joke. But no, she's as serious as a heart attack about this. Yeah, she's going to get to the bottom of this this soccer corruption. Can't have corruption in the game of soccer. So all this other stuff going on is of no concern, because you know it takes money, energy, and people resources to prosecute cases like this. And she's telling us that, you know, this is really important. Soccer is really important. You know, FIFA, really important. Got to get to the bottom of it. And even so much so that you know, people who were in Switzerland were being arrested and going to face extradition charges to the U.S. because, you know, she said, we want these people because they're corrupt. You know, they made too much money off of soccer. They can't do that. Not allowed. Well, yeah. Hey, did you know that Marco Rubio said that Christianity could be labeled hate speech? Now, people are waking up to this kind of stuff, folks. They're waking up to it. I told you at some point that your own faith is going to be, unless we stop this nonsense, that your faith is going to be labeled as hate speech. And you have all these people who seem to think that, yeah, there should be hate speech laws. Well, there you go, why you can't have them. Because somebody's going to label Christianity and Judaism, and God forbid Islam, as hate speech. Now, I don't know why Christianity would be labeled first when Christianity does not run around saying, well, you know, we need to behead people. When it's Islam that runs around saying that people need to be stoned or beheaded for their, you know, debauchery. You know, because we're all infidels, according to them. Infidel! And, you know, infidels deserve to die. But Christianity doesn't say that. But yeah, you know, Christians are the ones under attack from the left. I guess they think if they can take out Christianity, then they can take out Judaism. If they can take out Judaism, then they can take out all the rest of the world's religions. And all you have is secularism running rampant, which is a religion in itself. You know, and you folks who are Wiccans and Druids and Buddhists and Sikhs and all that kind of stuff, well, eventually you're going to get slapped with hate speech too. Because you're religious in thought, and you believe that there's right and wrong, in that there are certain ways of doing things, and that there are certain things that you should not do. And you know, if people want a free-for-all society where anything goes, they can't have religion limiting their free-for-all thoughts and actions. So, you know, it's got to be, you got to be a hate speech mongerer if you don't agree with them. You know, Christianity just won't agree on to certain society, what they would have been come to be known as certain going against certain societal norms, and so therefore, they're the first ones that are going to be labeled as hate speech speakers when it comes to religion being handed down as such. Tax information of more than 100,000 taxpayers from an IRS website are part of a sophisticated criminal operation based in Maharashtra. Two officials told the Associated Press. This is a story from Newsmax.com. Now, the information was stolen as part of an elaborate scheme to claim fraudulent tax refunds. So says the IRS Commissioner John Kozinen. So now he did decline to say where the crime originated, but you know, evidently they come from Mother Russia. But two officials briefed on the matter said Wednesday the IRS believes the criminals were in Russia based on computer data about who accessed the information. Of the official spoken condition of an anonymity, of course. That's the way it always is. Now, the revelation highlights the global reach of many cyber criminals, even to get into your tax status or records. In 2012, the IRS sent a total of 655 tax refunds to a single address in Lithuania. How do you send a tax refund to Lithuania? How do you send 655 refunds to a single address in Lithuania? And 343 refunds went to a loan address in Shanghai. I don't know how that happens, folks. There is no red flag with that. Hundreds. Who knows how much money that was. But hey, that's our government at work. Same government that wants to run your healthcare system, by the way. Just saying. Hey, we are out of time for today. We'll be back here, same bat time, same bat channel tomorrow. So tune in then. And, you know, until then, folks, just hold on to your wallet. I'm not Echo. Too hot Echo.